You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
What is up, Packers fans? We are ecstatic to be back with you, bringing you more Packers content. We've been bored out of our minds with this stupid off-season business. But there are some things to talk about, and we'll get to those in just a minute. For now, I'm your host, Brian Funfair, and I've got with me Dusty Evely.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Dusty.
Hi, Brian.
And I've also got Jordan Peck.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good, doing good.
It's going well. We have Brian Aviles, our in-house Bears fan, on with us to discuss the wagers that we made in our last episode. If you did not listen, we'll break that down for you in just a little bit. Also, a few minor moves that have happened in the last few weeks while we haven't been recording. We'll go over those at the end. All right, starting with the Jared Cook signing. 1 year, what, $3.5 million, 3.75, I think. Some of that being incentives. Not a bad deal, considering some of the negatives surrounding Jared Cook. I'm not completely sold on this. I'll say what I do like and then say why I'm not sold. I do like his athleticism. The guy's fast. He can jump. He's big. It's the athletic tight end we've been missing since JerMichael Finley. Hopefully he can have a somewhat similar impact that Finley had, just being that pass catcher, big guy up the middle to keep safeties honest. Keep our receivers from getting double-teamed on every play like they were last year because nobody had to worry about Richard Rodgers. Having said that, when the guy was released by the Rams right at the end of last season, I did some digging on why such a talented guy would be released. Saw the articles about him getting into scrapes on the sidelines with teammates, 10 drops last year, just not being focused. And I kind of talked myself out of him, hoped the Packers wouldn't sign him, and then here we are. The one time there's a guy I hope the Packers don't sign, and sure enough, he's a Packer. I've been spending the last week trying to talk myself into him. It's worked a little bit. I've watched some video on him, some film, and seeing what he can do when he's focused. And if he does that, we've got ourselves a good tight end, and it can help turn around this offense. But I'm not quite there, and I'm hoping that one of you two guys are, and you can kind of talk me into this being a really good signing. Dusty, I'm going to give you the first shot.
I may align pretty closer to you. I'm middle of the road on him. He's one of the guys I've always liked. Just is basically his speed and athleticism is impossible to ignore. And so because it's impossible to ignore that, I just choose to ignore all the other stuff. He's been one of those guys over the past like 3-4 years that's always been like a fantasy sleeper. I think it was 2 seasons ago. He started off with a huge game. I think he caught like a 75-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter or something. It was, all right, this is it, man. He was showing, he was middle of the field, he's fast, he can catch the ball. This is his year, and then he just kind of dropped off a little bit. So I dug into him a little bit based on just looked at as many numbers as I possibly could to try to basically talk myself into it, and then it just left me in the middle of the road. His catch rate has been, his career is like 57, 58%. Last year he was at 52%. Now, that doesn't sound good. The 52% is down, again, down from like 58. And you could say that it's because he played with bad quarterbacks, but a lot of places have done studies. I know Pro Football Focus and Football Outsiders have done studies that really, regardless of quarterback, catch rate stays remarkably consistent, which always baffles me. But so numbers may take a dip, but catch rate stays about the same. So 52 is down, you know, about is down a pretty good dip from his career. But even more concerning than that is the fact that every year since his, say his rookie year, he didn't really play. I think he started one game. He only had 9 catches that year. So basically his second year in the league, when he became a starter, he caught 64.5% of his balls. Since then, like, it's dropped every single year, which is concerning. And not little drops either. He had, from 2012, 2013 was like just a minor drop. And then 2013, 2014 was like 8%. So, I mean, that's concerning. His drop rate is high. I mean, you mentioned that, I didn't see 10 drop passes last year. He had quite a few. The drop rate I saw was like 5.3%, which put him down with, Jermaine Gresham and Eric Ebron, guys who are not necessarily known for their hands. So that also goes into catch rates. That's a little upsetting. His touchdown numbers are not great. He caught none last year in his career. He's caught 16. And, I mean, he's a big guy. His speed is kind of more his thing, but I still expected more. This kind of killed me. So I looked at touchdowns between the Rams and the Packers. Since Cook entered the league, the Packers have thrown, this is not the tight ends, this is just total, have thrown 132 more touchdowns than the Rams, roughly like 19 more per year. 19 more passing touchdowns per year since Cook entered the league, which is insane to me. However, the Packers have only thrown 2 more touchdowns to tight ends over that span. From by my account, Packers have thrown 42, which accounts for like 17% of their total receiving touchdowns, while the Rams have thrown 40, which accounts for like 35%. So it's not like he didn't have his opportunities. He had, I think, 11 red zone targets last year. I don't have that number in front of me. 11 red zone targets last year, and he caught 0 touchdowns, which is concerning. However, what I'm talking myself into, it's less those numbers and more the speed and athleticism that he brings to the middle of the field. He's not like, I was trying to think of a comparison. Like Rajon Rondo can't shoot to save his life, and so defenses just kind of sag off of him. Even though he doesn't, Cook does not have the greatest hands in the world, safeties are not just going to leave him alone. You have to account for that speed. So I was just imagining him running, say, deep routes in the middle of the field while Rodgers runs, say, like a shallow post, or Nelson on the outside, Cook on the inside, Cobb and Montgomery running like just dual routes, dual drags or slants across the middle. Having his speed and athleticism, his numbers may not look great this year, but I think he should make the offense better. Even if his numbers look, you know, close to what his career has been, or even what last season has been, which was not a great year, ranked by Football Outsiders metric, ranked the worst tight end in football last year. Well, tied for the worst. He was tied with Mercedes Lewis, which that's not great, but I think what he can give this offense, even if his numbers don't pop off at you, I think his speed will open up a lot of stuff underneath. So that's me trying to talk myself into it. I fully understand that, and the numbers don't necessarily back up he's going to have a big season. But at 1 year, $3.5 million, that's good for the potential that he can give the offense, especially with Nelson back. I'm not necessarily sold on him. I'm somewhere probably in the middle, fairly lukewarm. But I'm excited at what that kind of speed and athleticism at that position can give the Packers this year.
Okay. All right, Jordan, what say you?
It's clearly an improvement on where we were at last year at the tight end position. So, I mean, I don't want to say it was a no-brainer move for Ted to do it, because you still have draft options to get a tight end. But the tight end selection in the draft is lacking this upcoming year. So I think it was a more obvious move than some people may think. Like, people think we're taking, you know, a chance on the guy. I don't see it as that. The contract is relatively friendly. He's getting paid somewhere in the $3 to $4 million range. There's incentives along with that. I think $900,000 in incentives for a certain amount of catches and making the Pro Bowl. So you have something like that. It's a 1-year deal. So if this thing doesn't work out this season with him, then we're pretty much where we're at last year with tight end, which was still manageable. Richard Rodgers was still productive. If he's not a good fit, well, then he's not on our team next year. And if it is a good fit and he is productive, then you can't say it was a poor move by Ted. It was a good move. Not to mention, Dusty gave a lot of stats. I won't repeat what he's saying. But also too, this guy is. He's got basketball. He's got a basketball player built to him. He's 6'4". Like you talk about his athleticism. I think this guy, they talk about his potential to help the team out over the middle, and I agree with that. But also in the red zone on the goal line, this guy is going to be a threat, which I think can really help, really punch it in, because there seemed to be a lot of times last year we just couldn't get it into the end zone once we got into the red zone. So, and that's, it seems like that's been an issue or been a frustration for the Packers for the past few seasons. So a guy like that, I think, can help in that regard. We don't have the guy that can just go up and jump and get it. Jordy Nelson's not that guy as much. He's not just a guy who can out jump anybody. His footwork is amazing, but he's not going to out jump anybody. The last guy we really had like that was Finley. Cobb doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. Richard Rodgers doesn't do that. So that's another element that I think could really help this offense, you know, get 7 points instead of 3 points on multiple occasions this season. So I like the move. I think it's a relatively low risk, potentially high reward move. So I'm a fan.
All right. Two more quick points. One, I've heard a lot of people say that he's going to bust out this year because he's finally playing with a good quarterback. And I less than half believe that. The part of me that does believe it is, like, he's clearly, as Dusty pointed out, like, his catch percentage just went down every year. Some of that might be attributed to the fact that he was frustrated playing with Matt Hasselbeck and Kerry Collins and Nick Foles and a veritable who's who of quarterbacks. So, you know, maybe he improves a little bit because of that, but I don't really buy that as, boom, okay, he's ready at age 28, 29 to finally just burst onto the scene. So we'll see about that. What does make me optimistic is Brian Angelico, the new tight end coach.
Yes.
Who,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, the things that he has done with no-name tight ends. He's the one that got Jordan Cameron onto the scene, and even more impressive, he took Gary Barnidge with who was throwing him the ball last year? Mostly Johnny Manziel. And he made a tight end out of Gary Barnidge, who had done nothing until his age 29 season. I think if you go do the math, I think something like 85-90% of his career stats came from last season. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Gary Barnidge is a Pro Bowl level tight end. So I am excited to see what he can do with a guy who has all of the physical tools that Gary Barnidge doesn't even have. If he can hone in on Cook's focus, then that's where my optimism comes in, is that this guy is just the tight end whisperer, and he's going to turn around Cook's career or even just our position of tight end in general. So that's where my hope lies. So staying somewhat on the topic of Jared Cook, I want to know what you guys think about the draft coming up. How does this affect draft strategy? As Jordan mentioned, the tight end class is not very strong this year for the draft. So do we still spend a day 2 pick on tight end, or we wait until round 5, 6, 7 to see if we can find a diamond in the rough? Do we skip it altogether and address other needs? Jordan, I'll let you kick this one off.
Obviously, Hunter Henry, drafting him in the first round is not going to happen, rightfully so, now with signing Cook. For me, I would rather this team stockpile defensive players, especially on the first 2 days. I think it's a guarantee they're going to take someone defensively on the first round, whether it be an inside linebacker, outside line, somebody on the line, defensive tackle. I think that's not a full guarantee, but I would be surprised even at this point, even a month out from the draft, if that's not the way the Packers went. Obviously, there's other moves they can make, but I don't think there's not really too many other defensive free agents out there that are going to be so exciting for this team to sign. So I could see Ted taking a flyer on day three with maybe one of our fourth round picks or even later than that. I could see him doing that. I think it'll just depend on how the draft falls. So I wouldn't say that's really in their plans to, you know, we're going to take a tight end in the draft as a challenge to whoever. I mean, whether it's you're challenging Richie Rodgers or challenging Perillo for a third tight end spot, I don't know. I don't foresee it happening on day one or two, so, but possibly day three. But it's almost impossible to predict what happens on day three of the draft, especially
right.
a month out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we got Jeff Janis, so.
True.
So in other words, we're going to be raving about a tight end prospect here in a few months for every show.
Yeah, somebody who went to school in Central Michigan or Northern Michigan or most likely Michigan. That seems to be where we like to get our
preferably an NAIA school. You know,
yeah,
just
I'm into that. I'm into that. All right, Dusty, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this is so. Let's talk for a second about people who knock on the Packers draft or basically praise Ted blindly, which I like Ted Thompson. I don't want to come off that I don't like Ted Thompson, but the argument I hear year after year is when Ted does not go after someone is, hey man, how often does the person who wins free agency actually win the next year? Well, like never, because the Redskins just pay for a whole bunch of terrible players. Like that's on the Redskins. That's fine. They just overpay for everything. But where free agency can help and what I wish Ted Thompson did more was things like this. Free agency is a place where even if you don't sign someone on the first day, there's players out there that can help you that will fill obvious holes so you're not left filling every single hole in the draft. And then if that draft doesn't work out, or that guy doesn't work out, or the guy isn't there that you hope is there, you're kind of screwed or you're going to be thin at a position. Something like this, where we know that there's an issue at tight end, not a huge issue. I like Richard Rodgers. I don't like how they use him, but I like Richard Rodgers. It's a thin position. It's a position where they needed help, and they grab someone just for a year. But if it works out, it works out. If not, they got another body there and someone who could do something well. And what that allows you to do then is you can spend that energy either picking best player available or building depth. Or maybe you've got multiple weak positions as the Packers have two or three glaring weaknesses that need to attack. You cannot go after, say, Hunter Henry in the first round, and you can instead go after someone on defense that could help you. So that's what I like about this. It doesn't force them to grab, like basically say, we need one of these three positions in the first round of the draft, and then two of the guys are gone, and you grab the third one. It allows them to expand that a little. And I'm with Jordan. I think they'll focus on either inside linebacker or defensive line, which are their two biggest needs, but you can rule out tight end now. And if someone's there a little later and you think Cook is just a one-year guy, no matter how this works out, well, that's fine, and then that's some depth, and that allows them to sit behind for a little bit and learn for a year. But it doesn't force them to fill all of their needs in the draft, and that's what I like about this. I think that's what's going to help them in the draft this year.
Sure. Yeah, I would mostly agree with that. I don't think it eliminates tight end as a need position, but that's just because of the uncertainty of Cook. Is he going to produce or not? But it does change our strategy, whereas, as Dusty said, 2 weeks ago, tight end might have been a day two priority because you've got to get somebody athletic in there to complement Richard Rodgers. Now, say, for example, Hunter Henry falls all the way to the end of the second round, well, we can pick him with no pressure, and all of a sudden our tight end position is completely revamped. Whereas if we don't like who's there in round two or round three, we just pass on him because we don't need to pick somebody on day one at tight end. So with the uncertainty of what he's going to bring, I don't think it just eliminates it as a need, but it does at least shift it back, and we're in a more comfortable position in the draft knowing we only have one or two big meets. So,
yeah, and also too, it's not like Henry, a guy like Hunter Henry, who I think is the consensus best tight end prospect in the draft. He's not a surefire first rounder, so I mean, there's still
right.
a possibility he could fall that. Could fall to that. I mean, that's how we got Lacy,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few years back. He fell in the second round. People wouldn't have wanted
right.
them or the Packers to pick Lacy in the first round, but in the second round, it was a no-brainer. So if that happens, I'd be fine with that too.
Right, right. And you know, maybe somebody
them,
like. Go ahead.
I don't want them to pick Hunter Henry. I just want that on record.
We know you hate his face. We will get into that more later. Yeah, but maybe also it's somebody like Tyler Higbee, who is touted as kind of one of those mid-round steals, maybe he falls to a favorable position, and
yep.
he can have a season being groomed as the third tight end and be ready to take over next year or the year after. So,
yep.
yeah, this leaves us a lot of options that we did not have a week ago. So,
mm-hmm.
right.
And that's just,
so
that's just grabbing one guy. That's just one guy, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right, so consensus is that we all kind of are cautiously optimistic here. This could work out. It could be nothing, but it won't really have any negative impact on us. So no reason to really hate the move. Reasons not to love it. No, we really won't know until September when we see him on the field. So,
I think the only real downside to it, I mean, yeah, if he's not a good player, that's fine. The price tag, I mean, it's still you're paying almost $4 million for this guy that has been regressing the past few years. I mean, that's where I think if there's really any real risk with this, it's using the money on a guy like him instead of, you know, something where a bigger need is. That'd be the risk. But for me, I still think it's a relatively smart move.
Sure. All right, moving on, we have a guest this week. Welcome back to our number one Bears fan, I guess we can put it that way. Big fan of our podcast, Brian Aviles. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic, and we are excited to have you on again. You're always a pleasure. Now, for those who don't remember or did not listen to our show a few weeks ago, Brian here issued a challenge to our man Jordan, asking if the Bears were to win the division this year, would Jordan have the Bears logo shaved into his chest hair? And for the benefit of those who do not know Jordan, I describe Jordan's chest hair as a thicket, a forest, whatever have you. He's got plenty of it, and a Bears logo would definitely pop.
I think thicket's the best descriptive word I've heard about it in my life.
I'd say. He has to wax it and comb it every morning. It's a mess.
Yeah. Early mornings.
Yes. Being the smart and responsible businessmen that we are, we said, it's not fair that only Jordan has to do something, so let's get wagers for everybody. As mentioned a few minutes ago, Dusty hates Hunter Henry's face. He would like to punch it a lot. And
he might
for that
be a
reason,
nice person, but
address.
Yeah, just his face. He might be. I think he's a very nice human being, but I don't like his face.
So are we talking a tattoo of his face on Dusty?
Absolutely not.
Ooh.
Is that where
we're
getting?
No, we're not going that far.
I got off.
Mostly
really
because hard. Mostly we're not going the tattoo route because nobody wants to pay for that. Nobody wants to pay or see a tattoo of Hunter Henry's face on Dusty. So Dusty would then have to change his Twitter avatar to a close-up picture of Hunter Henry's face if he were to be drafted by the Packers in a few weeks. So there's that. Jordan has the chest hair. For mine, it was if the Bears win the division. Mine is similar. I would get the Bears C logo shaved into the side of my head.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. And,
yeah.
Of course, anybody who loses these wagers, pictures would be posted online to show their shame.
Okay, let's talk terms real quick. How long are you guys going to keep the pictures on? Because, I mean, you haven't said what you want me to do yet, but to be fair, I feel like a week is not long enough. It needs to be like a good amount of time that you have to keep those pictures up.
Well, what if we do a month?
Okay, I think we can do that. We can do that.
All right, a month. Okay, now to get to Brian's. Since he was the one that initiated all this, we went a little bit tougher on him. We said that if the Packers win the division, now if the Lions or the Vikings win the division this year, nobody's punished here except for Dusty if we drafted Hunter Henry.
Yeah. Technically, we'd all be punished, you know, if the Lions
won. We would have to live with that shame. Now, if the Bears were to win the division, our challenge to Brian here was that he would have to get the letter G tattooed somewhere on his body. We have some stipulations. It doesn't have to be the Packers G. Since it is permanent and he's a Bears fan, that would be a little harsh. We can negotiate on font and size and color. I'm going to throw one thing out there. It cannot be a G in the middle of another word. Like, you can't go get, like, the word great tattooed on your arm. Although, if you do, maybe we just make it a different color so that it stands out or something like that. But all this might be moot if Brian does not accept. So, Brian, here, none of us have heard your response yet. We will all be surprised when we hear what you have to say. You now have the floor.
Okay, well, as everyone can tell, this is very one-sided because I am going to get something that's permanent on me. But I'm just going to go. I have four reasons why I can somewhat be, not confident, but at least talk myself into it. I mean, last time I was on the show, the Bears beat the Packers. So maybe this is just, I'm just a good luck charm. And maybe I need to call John Fox up and tell him to hire me on the staff and just put me on Packers podcast for the year.
You're never coming back on this podcast again, though, Brian. After this, you're done until next offseason. just to make sure.
Blocked on Twitter, the whole nine yards. Of course.
We will wipe you off the face of the Twitter world, buddy.
Fair enough.
Never get a job in this town again.
And then, so three more things. I think the Bears added some good talent, so maybe they can somehow pull it out. I mean, let's just be honest. The Packers' chances of winning is a lot higher. I'm confident because the Vikings, they did win last year, and they can still come out and win, so I won't have to do anything. And then also we have the struggles of you guys from last season, so I can only hope that they show up again this year. So that being all said, I think I'll do it. I'm a tattoo kind of guy. I like tattoos. As long as it's not the Packers G, I will do it.
All right. So it'll be paid for by the three of us. So we wouldn't even have to pay for the G. We don't really need to negotiate size and color and font and all that stuff until the time actually comes. But
until week 11 when the Packers clinch, then we'll do it then.
So I guess we'll keep tabs throughout the season on this wager, and final decisions will be December, January, and we'll have this all figured out. Whew, I'm excited about this.
I've never heard a
Packer podcast with a tattoo wager before. So this is, as far as I know, a Packers podcast first. And we are a groundbreaking show.
We really are.
You guys can just always remember that your first fan and the guy that helped put you on the map was a Chicago Bears fan. If I get that G, I think it'll help you guys out.
So why don't you go ahead and get it now?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's gonna be tough for the Bears though. They don't have Shea McClellan to break Aaron Rodgers' collarbone again though. So
true. That's true. That's your secret weapon. It's gone.
True.
All right. Cool. Well, Brian, while we have you on, why don't we talk a little bit of Bears off season and keep tabs on our neighbors to the south? You guys have been making some moves. Couple good inside linebackers have signed. Bobby Massey on the offensive line. I think I just saw, what was his name, Brandon Bolden, the return man from the Denver Broncos last year, just signed today. So making some moves. Tell us how you feel about these moves and how optimistic you are going into the draft and next season.
Okay, well, you know, everyone, when they talk to Bears and the moves they made, they want to start with the linebackers. But I'm actually going to go a little different. I think the biggest move that we made, minus franchise tag and Alshon Jeffrey, was moving Kyle Long back to guard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, us being able to move him back to guard, I mean, he was an adequate right tackle. He had his struggles last year. But, I mean, he's a dominant guard. And doing that, we were able to add some more offensive line pieces around him. So I think all in all, that will just make our offensive line better, which, I mean, with Jay Cutler at quarterback, that's been a struggle for us for a while, him getting sacked, him getting hurt. So I think that is going to be a very underrated move, putting him back to where he belongs. But then, you know, we have to talk about Trevathan. I know you guys are upset because we took the guy that you wanted. But
so bad.
A pretty reasonable deal, too.
Oh, yeah.
Freeman both got really good deals. I'm very upset about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know who it was, but I was reading an article, and they're saying with adding Trevathan and then adding Freeman, we also got McPhee as an outside linebacker, and then I think the rotation of Willie Young and Lamar Houston isn't too bad. They were saying you can argue that the Bears have a top five linebacking core this year, and that was a big struggle last year. Jordan mentioned Shay McClellan. Those in Chicago, he gives us headaches. I mean, we used the first round draft pick to put him at defensive end where he didn't belong, and then we switched to a 3-4, move him to the middle of the field. He didn't do too great there either. So it definitely takes away one of the headaches we had on defense. Then also we added Akeem Hicks, who was a pretty good defensive lineman for the Patriots, and I think he will work well alongside Eddie Goldman, our second-year nose tackle, who he had a pretty good year for a rookie. And I think if we can add, you know, through the draft one more defensive lineman, I think our defense is going to look pretty solid. We're still pretty thin at cornerback. We re-signed Tracy Porter, who had one of his better seasons, but I don't know if we can expect him to do the same as he did last year. So I think we're a little thin in the backfield, but I know we always want to talk about the defense. You want to build a defense from the front seven first. That's more important than getting secondary players. And so I think we did a good job of securing our front seven.
All right. You're kind of thin at quarterback, though, too, aren't you? Just a little thin at the quarterback position?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, at this point, it is what it is. We have Cutler, so now we just need to do what we can to build around him. And actually, I want to also mention, I know you guys talked, I think, on the last podcast a little bit about Martellus Bennett and the possibility of picking him up. I mean, that's a pretty fair trade we got with the Patriots to trade a guy who's been a headache in the locker room, and he just has a history of, you know, not working well with the teams he's been on. To get a fourth-round pick for him, I was actually surprised. I was assuming we'd get a six or a five. So I'm decently pleased with the fourth-round pick. And, you know, we had to get rid of him. He's a talent. We're now thin at tight end. But I think it's a good move for the team and in the locker room. So that's kind of an underrated thing that happened this offseason as well.
Brian would have given up two first-round picks and both of his arms for Bennett.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even broken a sweat about that.
But
I would have given up one of Martellus Bennett's arms for it, too, because I think even he, one-handed, would probably be better for our team than Richard Rodgers was last year.
How dare you.
Well, see, the sad thing is, with you guys, is, you know, Bennett going to you guys, he's kind of a head case, and he does tear up locker rooms. But then also you guys get Cook, and he's a less talented head case. So I'm interested to see how that works out for you guys. I mean,
yeah,
with Aaron Rodgers.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, what I really didn't understand about the Martellus Bennett move wasn't on the Patriots side, wasn't on the Bears side. It was the outrage that I saw on Twitter from Packers fans, like, I would have given up a fourth rounder for him. Why didn't we make that move? Let's make one thing clear. The reason that the Bears did not just release, or at least part of the reason they didn't just release Martellus Bennett and be done with it, was they didn't want him to go to the Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't want a very talented tight end to come and fill the biggest hole in the Packers' offense. They wanted to make sure that that need was not filled. All right,
a guy, now, even as if Brian said, who's like a head case, and then with an axe to grind, playing that team twice a year, like he would try to murder the Bears twice a year.
Right, and even if Ted Thompson called up and said, "Hey, I heard you got an offer of a fourth rounder from the Patriots. Here, I'll offer our fourth rounder, which is, what, two picks higher?" The Bears weren't going to accept that. If they accepted a fourth rounder from the Patriots, if the Packers come calling, we're all of a sudden talking about a third rounder or a second rounder or, like, a third and a fifth or something like that. And at that point, you don't want to help out your rivals that much on especially acquiring a guy who is a head case and could easily just blow up in our faces spending that much to get him. It wasn't realistic. My hope of signing him was contingent on him being released when the Bears didn't find a suitable trade partner. That's what I was hoping would happen. I never expected that the Bears would trade him to the Packers, especially for something that would be a good deal for the Packers. So
I think that's a big win for the Bears, not just to get him out of the division, but to get him completely out of the conference. So not even just the pick. That, you make a good point. That was, I think, the biggest part of the trade.
Meanwhile, the Patriots tight end position might literally break the NFL. This
might
be the final year of NFL because of the Patriots tight end position. They're going to close their doors because every other team will just give up. All right. Any last questions for Brian? Or Brian, do you have any last comments before we let you go?
I want one comment. I just want to say that you're going to hear it here first. My prediction and what I want for the Bears to do in the draft is I see the Bears picking up Zeke Elliott, and I think he's a great running back, and if he falls to us with Fox's tendency to go two running backs and Langford really not being ready to be the number one guy, I think Zeke Elliott could be one of the next up-and-coming backs in the league. I mean, he blocks well. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's very athletic and in shape. So you heard it here first. I think the Bears will select Zeke Elliott.
What pick are you guys at in the first round?
11.
Oh, wow.
Possible.
Yeah.
What Torrey Gurley did last year, the stigma on drafting running backs early is kind of gone, so wouldn't be surprised if he'd gone by then, but I also would not be surprised to see him in Chicago next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only reason. I think if he falls to 11, which a lot of people are predicting, I think he will end up a Bear. There's a couple teams in front that could pick him up, so I'm hoping he falls.
All right, cool. Well, Brian, thanks for coming on. We're looking forward to talking to you more this season, keeping in tabs on this tattoo bet. Really hope to see you get inked next year.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right,
thanks,
take
Brian.
It easy, buddy.
Hey,
Brian. Always a pleasure having Brian on. He's a good guy.
Good stuff.
I'm excited about this tattoo bet. My goodness, I have never wanted the Packers to win a division more than I do this year.
I thought he was going to come back with like some kind of counteroffer or something, but he just straight accepted it.
He owned it, man.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
He's got cojones. Oh, my goodness. It's refreshing to meet somebody who's a Bears fan and also a decent human being. It's nice. It's nice.
Well, we found our one. That's good.
We found the one that exists. And I don't think he even lives in Chicago, does he, Jordan? You know him.
No, he's still living in Ohio.
He lives in Ohio, so that's probably why he's such a good person. Oh, boy. I have nothing real against the city of Chicago, but it seems like every time I go there, just like one bad thing happens to kind of spoil the rest of my good experience.
I've been there a couple times. Lovely city.
It is a very nice city. It's just, I don't know, just in my history, it just feels like one bad thing always happens when I'm there. I'll have a great time. Like one time I took my now wife, we went on a little day trip, went to some museums, got food, all that kind of stuff. And it was really nice, but it was like 30 degrees below zero. So that was the one bad thing.
It does have that going against it.
It does. Oh, my goodness. All right. We have a couple minor news updates, somewhat minor news updates. from the last time that we were here. We haven't talked about B.J. Raji semi-retiring yet. Not officially calling it quits, but saying he's at least going to take the next year off. Wouldn't be surprised if he comes back after that. Wouldn't be surprised if he hangs it up for good. Thoughts on that, guys? Dusty, what do you think?
I'm interested to see where it goes. I've seen with you know, the health in the forefront of NFL and people talking about that a lot. I've heard one of the ideas I've heard floating around was it was kind of geared towards running backs just because running backs fall off so steeply after the age of 30. But mm-hmm. I guess it could hold true with anything of just a guy taking a year off somewhere, say, late 20s, early 30s, and then coming back for a year and kind of seeing what happens, see if it's do they lose a step or is it they come back kind of refreshed, have more energy and maybe a renewed passion for the game, or just, if nothing else, fresh legs from being off a year. And, you know, it was forced into it, but, you know, we saw it with Adrian Peterson. Now, granted, Adrian Peterson is a freak of nature, but he was forced out of football for a year for decently good reasons and came back and looked like he hadn't missed a step. So if Raji does come back, I know he said he kind of wants to been playing football for years and years and years and never really explored too much outside of life besides football. If he does decide he wants to come back, if he misses the game, and I have a feeling like you, Brian, that he will either after the season or even midseason, I'm interested to see if he comes back and he's got a pep in his step and maybe adds a couple more years to his career. I don't think this is the start of a trend, but I wouldn't be shocked if players start, especially with the rate young players are retiring, I wouldn't be shocked if they start, people start doing this a little more, maybe just take a year off from football. So we're going to miss him in the middle. He didn't have a great season last year, but he looked better than he did, two seasons ago when he was healthy. So when I think we're going to miss him in the middle, we talked about with the draft, they're going to need to address that, especially with bumping Jones, Dayton Jones outside. But I'm very curious to see how this goes for him.
All right. Now, you mentioned his performance last year. It wasn't great. He wasn't a liability, but we had expectations of him coming back from his injury and kind of going back to his old ways, the way he used to play at nose tackle, and it just didn't happen. I kind of hope that this springs Ted Thompson into being forced to upgrade this defensive line. Because mm-hmm. he hasn't really done it in a couple of years. And they've just gotten a little bit stale. Dayton Jones stepped up a bit last year. Mike Daniels had his best season, and we have him back now. But we need somebody up the middle. I think we need another defensive end, too, to be honest. And it kind of reminds me of the year that we let Darren College leave. Now, B.J. Raji at nose tackle is not as bad as Darren College was at left guard. But Darren College leaving kind of forced Thompson to upgrade, and TJ Lang got slotted in at left guard, and boom, our offensive line was much better. Now, if we can find somebody on day one or two of the draft that can clog up the middle for us, we have a chance to be forced into upgrading our defensive line, and I think it's overdue. We really need some more talent up there. I think part of the reason that our linebackers don't seem to play their best football is because they don't have a top-notch offensive line disrupting things in front of them. So I view it as probably our biggest priority, even over inside linebacker, which I view as a very big priority. I would say nose tackle and defensive end first and foremost for me. So I'm hoping that Thompson is sprung into action here. I don't think there's anybody really left in free agency. I don't see anybody. Pot Roast would have been that one guy that maybe we take a flyer on, but he signed with the Patriots today. So, yeah, it's going to be the draft, and I'm hoping we spend a couple picks in the first 3 to 4 rounds on defensive line. Jordan.
Yeah, I completely agree. I foresee that happening, too, with this. I think you're right about this kind of forcing Ted Thompson into a position to make moves in this regard. I think you're absolutely right. Going back to just with Raji, though, it's interesting that he didn't say specifically it was, you know, fear of, you know, concussions or whatnot. It's obviously, you know, it's not, I want to say likely, but there's obviously a good chance of that. I mean, for a guy to take a year off, a seven-figure salary you're walking away from for a year. I mean, it's I'm sure a lot of thought went into that. So I don't know what that is. If it's a fear of injury or, you know, another thing is he's lost passion for the game. Just doesn't want to play. I mean, who knows? And maybe he gets that passion back in his year off. Who knows? I mean, he didn't give a whole lot of details on why this happened. It kind of came out of nowhere. So hopefully everything's good with that. I mean, because you just don't know. But yeah, and you're right. There's really not, in terms of upgrading before the draft with free agency, there's not much there. So yeah. I foresee even first round pick. I wouldn't be surprised, even with the bigger need of inside linebacker. I would not be shocked at all to see a defensive tackle taken on day one of the draft. Not at all.
Andrew Billings, Chris Jones. There are some guys that'll be available.
A lot of guys. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of defensive talent in these upper rounds for sure.
Right. Yeah. That's what I've been reading, is that there's a lot of good defensive linemen that we'll be able to choose from. And I hope we can grab one of them, and I hope it works out.
No.
All right. Next move. We lost Casey Hayward, the cornerback signed with the San Diego Chargers. Pretty decent deal. This is something we all saw coming, just with the crazy amount of talent we have at cornerback. We couldn't possibly sink any more money into it without risk of losing some of these guys when they come off their rookie deals. But when you look and we have Sam Shields and we have Micah Hyde and Randall and Gunter and Rollins, like, that's a lot of talent at cornerback. It's even losing one of our top guys, we still have one of the best cornerback groups in the NFL. So, and it's just so full of potential that it could just get ridiculous at some point. So, sad to see Hayward go. I always liked him, but bringing him back was a major luxury in my mind and one that we couldn't really afford. What's your guys' thoughts, Dusty?
Like, on the one hand, I see it. I always thought he'd be gone, but I thought he'd be gone because he'd be priced out. Man, he got 3 years, $15 million, with like a little under seven guaranteed. So when Devon House and Tremont Williams left, was that last offseason?
Yeah.
House got 4 years, 24 and a half, with a little over six guaranteed. Tremont Williams was 32 years old. He got 3 years, $21 million, and $10 million guaranteed. Now, granted, it was the Browns, but still, like, that's a lot more money.
And the Jaguars.
Yeah, and the Jaguars. But
the difference there is Hayward is going to a team that has a chance at being good. The other two were cashing in on the fact that there were two teams that had to get up to the minimum cap number. So they had to spend big. Barnhouse got a big contract because of where he signed. So,
but, like, Hayward is a much better player. And granted, it's a little kind of a niche thing. He showed last year he can play outside. He doesn't have the speed necessarily to play outside on a consistent basis. One of the better slot corners in the league. 3 years, $15 million, with as much cap space as the Packers have. Like, yeah, they have a lot of talent there. They could have signed him for that exact same deal and then still been fine. You just let him leave after 3 years. And I love all of the young guys they have. Like, you mentioned all of them. They got a lot of talent at that position. I love them. There's no guarantee all those guys are going to work out. We know what we have in Hayward, maybe a little injury prone. 3 years, $15 million is not unreasonable. So I always thought he'd be gone, but when I saw that deal, I thought he'd be gone because he priced himself out, and he really wasn't. So it's disappointing. I mean, there is a backlog there, but there's always going to be injuries. I'm going to miss him. I loved watching him. He's an SEC guy. He played at Vandy. I loved living in Kentucky. I watch a lot of SEC football, so I've been watching him for a while. I'm sad to see him go, and I'm sad to see him go on a deal that the Packers easily could have matched.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jordan.
It's interesting. If they would have matched it, it would have just been interesting to see what the future move, if they even pull off this Jared Cook move, if that would have been a better move for the team. I think re-signing Hayward is certain. Like, when I think Brian said the right word. I mean, a luxury at this point. We're doing pretty good at cornerback. Tight end, we're not doing good at. So I think even if you don't like Jared Cook as much as you'd like to have Casey Hayward on the team, I think the improvements at tight end trumps the improvements at cornerback that Hayward would have provided us. So I think that was probably went into the decision-making for Ted. Not to mention, it probably just speaks to his opinion of guys like Rollins and Gunter and Hyde to handle the job that that Hayward did last year. Just with another year for particularly Gunter and Rollins coming into their second year, they've had plenty of, not as much Gunter, but Rollins had plenty of experience last year. So I think it speaks to Ted's opinion, high opinion of them more than anything.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, as Jordan said, we have much bigger needs. You know, tight end was a much bigger need than cornerback. Linebacker, inside or out, is a bigger need than cornerback. Defensive end, nose tackle, both bigger needs than cornerback. And I think that $5 million per year can be much better spent fortifying those positions or even re-signing guys who will be expiring soon at those positions. So, yeah. I'm going to go back to the word luxury, the way I feel.
Yeah.
All right. One last move to talk about, re-signing James Starks. Jordan, give us your thoughts on that.
I've liked James Starks for a long time. I think the guy has stepped up in some big time spots for us. Particularly, you think even way back to the Super Bowl year as a rookie. The guy has that gamer mentality that I like. He had issues with fumbles late in the season, so that's cause for concern. But I don't know. I don't know in terms of improvement, particularly free agent improvement with running back. I mean, there was always that talk about Forte. I mean, people can dream. That was never going to happen. Right. And then we talked about that last time. I think it's a good move to keep him. He's been in our offense for a long time. He's been with Rodgers now for, what is it now, six or seven years now, however long he's been in the league. So I'm a fan of the move. I like the continuity there. He's not our workhorse back. He's our backup running back. So I think it's a good idea to keep him on. I don't think there is really too many options of really improving on his production. So I think it was a good move to keep him.
All right. Yeah, I mostly agree with that. The fumbles bothered me last year. I kind of hoped that he would have stepped up a bit more last year and been a bigger part of the offense with how poorly Eddie Lacy was performing. But it seemed like every time he got a rhythm going, boom, he would fumble. And it went right back to Eddie Lacy being caught up to by nose tackles because he couldn't run anymore because he was winded. Well, we won't get into Eddie Lacy right now. although we can say that from pictures, it looked like he's lost a lot of weight, and I'm a little bit excited about that.
Good time.
But Jordan did say he's that veteran guy. He's been here for so long. He knows this offense. He, as a number two back, you can't do much better. You know, he can catch the ball well. He can run well. He's a really good complement to Lacy because he's just such a different back. He's that kind of shifty, speedy, you know, break tackles kind of back where Eddie Lacy will just pound you in the face. It's a good complement to have to Eddie Lacy, especially if Lacy comes back fit and ready to go next year. So overall, I'm okay with it. He did get a lot of money, and looking at the money that he got plus the money that Lane Taylor, the backup guard, got, seems like that money could have been better spent somewhere else, but I'm not complaining about getting a solid number two running back for another season. Dusty?
Yeah, I mean, the money is odd. It's 2 years, $6 million, which I think he's 31 now. For a backup running back, and I mean, there's limited miles on him. He missed his senior season at Buffalo. He's kind of been injured here and there. I think last year, maybe in his first year with the Packers, that he played in every game, which I was like you guys, I really like him. I feel like $6 million for 2 years is a bit of a high price tag for backup running back, and it seems like you could just plug some guys in there, and especially, and this is a little strange that the Packers, it's not going to happen, I can't imagine, but the Packers kind of being linked to Ronnie Hillman seems a little odd given that they just gave $6 million to their backup. But I like Starks. I'm fine that he's back. I wish it was for less money, but I don't mind a guy, a running back in his 30s getting $6 million, and only one and a half of that's guaranteed. So, it doesn't kill the team. He's a good, solid backup. He's not the best blocker in the world, but he's decent. Mm-hmm. He knows his assignments. Not the best receiver, but he can catch a ball. I love his style, that quick guy. He looked a little slower last year, but kind of that quick one cut, he can make some guys miss. He can still outrun some guys. I like him. I'm glad he's back. Again, I wish it was slightly less money, but I don't mind having him back.
I think it's a good look, too, just for the Packers. I mean, they're rewarding a guy who's been a solid contributor for the team for quite a long time. I think it's a good look when you reward players with, even a little bit more than they might be worth. But I think that's a good look for the Packers as a franchise.
Yeah, and it could have been a strategic move for that reason, if nothing else.
Yeah,
I totally agree. You see guys like Randall Cobb, Richard Rodgers, Davante Adams, who have had such incredible highs, and then this past year especially, some really crushing lows to their careers. Meanwhile, James Starks, going all the way back to his rookie season when he jumped into the fold in the playoffs and helped with that great Super Bowl run, he's been pretty much the same guy every year. And that guy has never been feature running back, but that's been dirty work, backup, catch defenses off guard kind of player. And again, pretty much the same guy every year. Struggled last year, but
no off-field issues. I mean, it's guys like that are nice to have. Guys mm-hmm. that you know what they're going to give you.
You guys both mentioned the fumbles as well, so I kind of wanted to bring that up for a second. Was that he fumbled a lot? I think the Packers running backs fumbled more than any other team in the league, especially. I think it was 9. It seemed like most of those came in the second half of the season, which was concerning. But Starks has been the guy who normally, I don't have the numbers in front of me, my internet is not working at the moment, but he seems like a guy who has one or two fumbles a year. Like, it's somewhat an issue. It's not a terrible issue. And I kind of wonder if the hiring of the new running back coach and then the re-signing of Starks go hand in hand. I wonder if that's kind of they knew that was a problem with the coach, so they brought him back, hoping that kind of makes Stark take a little better care of the ball.
That's
kind of a guess. It seems, because it's not been a glaring issue in his game so far, I don't think.
Right.
Like that, I'm looking at it right now. Starting in 2011, so the year after the Super Bowl, he had 2 fumbles that year. He had 1 fumble each of the next 3 seasons. None of them were lost, so it wasn't really an issue. Last season, he had 4 fumbles, 2 lost. So that's not obviously ideal, but, it hasn't been a pattern.
Last year's an outlier.
Right, so, I mean, there's also hope of that was just a fluke, and that's not an issue for him this upcoming season.
Yeah,
and you mentioned the running back coach maybe having an impact on those fumbles. May also just be new running back coach really wants to have that veteran guy to kind of be his on-the-field mm-hmm. voice. It may be a bridge-the-gap sort of thing, because we may not have Lacy after next year, and having some continuity at the position, having a veteran to back up whatever young running back is going to come in and replace Eddie Lacy, that may have factored into it too. So, it doesn't sound like any of us are against the move. We're a little bit confused as to how much money he got, but not enough that any of us are really complaining about getting a solid number 2 running back. So,
it doesn't cripple many future moves. I mean, it limits us a little bit, but not anything devastating.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you talk about the money, but I mean, they still have over $20 million in cap space. So yeah, it's not concerned that it's turning over their head to bring Starks back.
Right.
All right. That's pretty much all we have for today, unless you guys have any last thoughts, Jordan.
Not really too much. I'm looking for the NFL draft. I'm not a huge draft guy for the other sports, but NFL draft, I look forward to that every year. So this upcoming month. Watching the draft, even the last day, like I just always have it on. I'm always checking to see what guys are getting picked. It's a blast. I can't wait for it.
Dusty,
we got a couple Twitter questions I want to hit on before we take off.
Let's hear them.
We are at PTTF_podcast. So follow us if you're not. We've got 2. One is from Peter Schilke. That's at 88PJs, which I assume is how many sets of pajamas he wears.
That's right.
Who do you guys think has the better year, Cook or Richard Rodgers? I think rolling with Rodgers. I think with Cook taking off the top and maybe Rodgers playing a little bit more limited time and maybe a little more goal line situations, not asked to do as much, I think he could have a pretty big touchdown season. And then some, if they run him a little more in the middle, which if you're running underneath Cook's routes, I think you will. That's where Richard Rodgers exceeds. So I think Cook will help him, but I'm thinking numbers-wise, I think Richard Rodgers on that.
I think that Rodgers will benefit from having Cook, just two totally different tight ends. I think it'll help with red zone stuff, where people will have to focus on the other big man in there and the jump balls that he can catch. So I think it will impact Rodgers' touchdown numbers to where he'll have more than Cook. But when you look speed over the middle, big playability, Cook is going to have more yards receiving and potentially more catches. So I think it's all going to even itself out, where Cook kind of takes the middle of the field and makes it dangerous again. Richard Rodgers can go back to being a really good red zone threat. I think they'll complement each other well. I know that's a really non-committal answer, but I'm going to say more touchdowns for Rodgers, more yards for Cook. Jordan?
I'd be a little disappointed if Cook didn't have the better year, to be honest with you, with his guys, with his talent. Unless for whatever reason Richard Rodgers just explodes and, you know, he's up, you know, 800, 900 yards, which I don't foresee happening. I would certainly hope this season that Cook is the guy that outproduces Rodgers. That's my hope. I mean, more importantly, I hope it's just a good tandem that gets this offense as a whole into a rhythm. But yeah, I feel if Cook isn't producing, I think it's going to be tougher for that to happen. So I think in order for the offense to reach its full potential, Cook needs to be the guy.
All right.
We got one more question. This one is from Mark Wellner. It's at Mark W. Wellner with two L's. Also a writer for Tight End Town Sadoff. Good guy. Good writer.
Heck of a guy.
Yes. Talk about the German that Green Bay is interested in. I don't know if you've seen this guy. I actually wrote down how to pronounce his name. Moritz Behringer. He's 6'4", 225 pounds, runs a 40-yard dash in 4.45 seconds. He had a pro day down at blanket on the school. It was a small college in Florida that Green Bay attended. He played for the last year, was his first year, played for the German Football League, which, honest to God, I had no idea that existed. You can watch his he's got highlight stuff you can watch on YouTube, which so I went ahead and watched some of those this afternoon because I don't need to take care of my daughter. And so I sat down and watched some of those. It's ridiculous. Like, the guy looks like, I can't remember, like, his high jump was something ridiculous, too. Like, he basically, his measurables, if you look at it from, like, combine perspective, were basically right up there with Calvin Johnson. He's not going to be Calvin Johnson. He's more like a Jeff Janis-type guy. But, man, watch these highlights, because it looks like he's playing against little kids. It barely resembles American football. It's just, I don't know. I think I was in one of the clips. I think I was on the cornerback. There's, like, no press coverage. It's just guys kind of, like, jogging around. But he's blowing by guys. It looks like a grown man playing peewee football. So there's no way the Packers are going to sign him with the wide receivers they've got and the fact that he's basically Jeff Janis Part 2, and it took forever for Jeff Janis Part 1 to actually get involved in the offense. But I don't know. If you get a chance, man, just watch some of his highlights because they're pretty entertaining.
I can't pretend like I know anything about the guy, but, I mean, based on what you just said, I mean, first of all, he's a German, so, I mean, sign him up.
Yeah.
Second, he's the German Jeff Janis, so sign him up.
Sign him up
Third,
double. Just
Sure. Yeah, sign him twice. Why not? Mm-hmm. Third, please excuse my terrible German accent. I'm much better with a Bear Grylls impression or maybe Russian oligarch impression or something like that. But I don't see any harm in it. Like, bring him into camp. Why not have a physical freak like that? Maybe he jumps right in and
and gets it, maybe he comes in and just gets bullied right back out. But who cares? I mean, it's one of, what, 80 spots that we get to start off camp. So, hell, why not?
I love that we've gotten to the point in our show where we're talking about Jeff Janis protégés.
look, if everything breaks right, he could be Jeff Janis. If everything breaks exactly right. He could be where Jeff Janis was like, last year.
Oh,
very
boy.
Exciting.
What have we come to? I need the season. I need the draft or the season or something to start. Talking about German Jeff Janis is driving me nuts already.
All you need is just Daredevil season 2 is on. Just watch Daredevil season 2, and then get ready for the draft after that. It'll help you forget about the sadness of the off season, if only for like 13 hours.
It's a good show. I'm not even a huge comic book guy, but Daredevil is a good show.
Bonkers good.
All right. All right, well, good show. That's all we have for you today. Make sure you tune in. We'll be back again, I think, in 3 weeks, right before the draft. We'll have a 3-round mock draft. Each of us will have guys that we're looking for the Packers to draft in those first 3 rounds. Anybody that guesses any of those 3 picks correctly, you have to win something, right? I mean,
we'll have to discuss it. Oh, definitely, definitely.
How often, especially when we're picking that late in each round, how often does somebody actually mock correctly? It's really rare.
Yeah.
I think the last time I got it right was DeTone Jones.
That's impressive.
I really felt the Packers were going to get him, and I really wanted them to. I think that's the last time I got a Packers pick correct.
I just don't even try anymore because I'm never right.
I think I got Clinton Dix right. I got Clinton Dix right.
I
drafted him.
I mocked everybody but Clinton Dix because I thought he was going to be a top 15 pick. I thought there was no chance we were going to get him. Like, it was too good to be true.
No.
But I don't know. Well, Dusty, you're going to have to try again because in 3 weeks is the first annual Pack to the Future 3-round mock draft. It's happening.
Wait, man. I don't think it started tonight, man.
Please do. Please put a lot of work into something that you're going to be completely wrong about.
And that that we just don't even have what the winner's going to get yet. Yeah, I really got to pull myself into this.
The winner gets huge. The winner gets a matching tattoo with Brian Aviles.
Ooh.
There we go.
It's like when you put like your arm next to his arm and it forms a word or something.
There we go.
It's a broken G and you put them together and it forms a whole G.
I like it. All right. Thanks for joining us. We will see you and talk to you again in 3 weeks. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.